You're listening to the Small Business Marketing Show, where you'll learn how to attract all the clients you can handle automatically. Now, here's your host, Steve Gordon.
Welcome to the Small Business Marketing Show. This is your host, Steve Gordon, and this is a special show. We're kicking off the new year, and I couldn't think of anyone better to lead off 2013 with than our guest today. Our guest is Walter Bagheron. Walter is the author of The Million Dollar Total Business Transformation, and he is a GKIC, Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle Marketer of the Year. And today we're going to talk about his 90-day million-dollar transformation of his business and all of the things that he did. And if you haven't come across his book, you've got to get a copy of it. It's just an incredible journey through what he did in 90 days. So, Walter, great to have you on the show. I'm really looking forward to talking to you today.
Fantastic, Steve. I certainly appreciate you you having me and sharing this little story of mine with everyone. And I'm looking forward to answering whatever questions I can and maybe sharing a little bit of what I did with you and your audience.
Well, great. You know, we met up in Nashville at a marketing event up there, and I told you that my copy of this book is all dog-eared, and it's actually got spaghetti stains on it because when I got the thing in the mail, I read it over about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and I'd read it while I was cooking dinner, and so I made a mess with it, but I've got notes all over this thing. This is really, I think, an interesting approach to a book. I've never seen it done quite like this before, especially in a marketing business book, but you have basically shared your diary day by day for 90 days of what you did to really dramatically change your marketing and get some fabulous results along the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, the book was never intended to be published like I wind up doing. It was just like you said. It was a day-by-day accounting of what I was doing during that 90-day period to implement the marketing that I had been taught through Dan Kennedy and Glazer Kennedy and throughout all the other direct marketing people out there. So it was never intended that way, but it turned out to be just something that people tended to really latch on to and could relate to because it was, you know, I wasn't any kind of marketing guru by any means. I was just trying to implement what I had learned. And so documenting it in this book was a way that people can really relate to it and see exactly what was done, the pitfalls that I went through and the times that it was really tough to actually get up and get these things done. And then it also shares the successes that we had and experienced and what really kept me going throughout that entire 90 days. And then the transformation that even happened after that.
Well, I think it's particularly useful, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here to start the year is that a lot of people are thinking, all right, it's beginning of the year, I got to make some changes, and this is not only a lot of good advice on what to do, but I mean you cover all of the things that as I'm working with clients that I know they run into, you go through periods of, you know, I'm doing all this work, is it really going to pay off? And you have that doubt, and then you take a whole bunch of action, and you see the results, and it kind of spurs you to move on. So it goes through all that, and I thought it was very well done.
Well, yeah. I appreciate that. That's exactly what it was. It was just like you said, a real change in mindset, and then implementation, taking action, and then the results just tend to feed more action.
Now there are three themes throughout the book that you come back to that I'd like for you to touch on a little bit. And the first of those is massive action. You talk about that quite a bit. You talk about the idea of good is good enough. And then the third one is simultaneous implementation. Can you talk a little bit about those? Because I really think that's a mindset that you get into.
Yeah. And so it really was. Once there was a a change in mindset to take action. I call them my three golden nuggets of implementation. And it was, first and foremost, taking massive action every day. And during that 90-day period, I really I committed to not just doing little things like write a paragraph here or there, or, you know, throw an email into a campaign. I mean, I did like an entire campaign a day, or I'll write, you know, an entire 8-page sales letter in a day. So I committed myself to taking massive action. And it turned out that once I got into doing things, that spending a little bit more time resulted in so much more results. It was really just getting into the mindset of doing something on a daily basis. And once things got rolling, I would find out that there'd be a lot more accomplished with just a few more minutes added to it. So the taking massive action each and every single day, and the truth is that, yeah, that means Saturdays and Sundays sometimes, and sometimes it meant after hours work, but once we got it going, it really fed itself. The second thing I talked about was good enough. So it doesn't mean that, you know, crummy sales copy or just terrible things are good enough. It meant that once you've got it good, you need to send it out. You need to actually implement whatever you've got completed. And so my theory was that if I gave it three revisions, so once I went through it three different times on three different occasions, that I've made as many corrections as I could or made it as good as I could, at that point it was good enough. It was not perfect. I knew there were going to be some errors that slipped through the cracks, but it had to go out, so I had to make sure that if I did it three times, that was going to have to be good enough. And then the third thing was simultaneous implementation. And what I did by that is that I didn't just do newsletters, and then once the newsletter got finished, then I would start another project like the website, and then once I got completed with that, I would start a third project. What it meant was that as soon as I got one to a stopping point, like the newsletters was a perfect example. I would get the newsletters to where they were off to be printed. So I would send the copy off to be printed, and as soon as that was done, I was working on the website that evening. And as soon as that got to a point where I had to have some kind of graphic input, I would move on to another project. So during a week period, I had five or six projects going on all at the same time. So I would never get one thing done and then move on. I would always do as many things as I could at one time, get them to a stopping point, and then start another project. So those three, you know, golden nuggets of implementation is really what fed me and got things moving really quickly and got a lot of implementation completed in a short period of time.
Now, you're running a business while you're doing all of this. How did you make that work? Because I'm sure you had a full plate before you decided to embark on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Well, it required some sacrifices. There were some, you know, some family dinners that I missed. There were some Saturdays that I wasn't able to spend with my son that I wanted to spend out there. So there were some sacrifices that had to be made, and it paid off in the long run. I always felt that it would, but, yeah, there were some things that had to be given for that time that I took to do the implementation. Some of the little tricks I use, like at work, I always had a standard open door policy, and, you know, always learned that from the business gurus, you know, make it easy for your employees to access you. Well, during that 90 days, I got rid of that policy completely. As a matter of fact, I shut my door and I put a sign on the door that says, you know, owner is not to be disturbed during this period. He's, you know, taking massive action. And so, you know, I made myself a whole lot less accessible and focused that time on implementation. But yeah, there was an entire business to be run, in addition to doing this during that 90-day period.
Well, not only did you put a sign on the door, if I read the book right, you put a guard outside too, didn't you?
Well, yeah, because, you know, my birthday is on Halloween, and so over the last few years, I mean, we've been married 20 years. My wife and I have really taken Halloween up to a whole new level. So, you know, she is always buying the large life-size mannequins and animatronic creatures for Halloween, and so we picked Michael Myers, the Halloween guy with the mask on his face, and we put the animatronic right outside the door of my office and hung a sign on him, and it got the point across. It was funny enough; everyone, you know, got a little chuckle out of it, but it got the point that, you know, the point got across that he's not to be disturbed. Let him do his implementation, and he'll take it down, and you'll be able to talk to him as soon as this is all done. But for now, just leave him alone. So it worked, and it was really funny and fun to do.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you did. And really, I think it all starts, I mean, we can get into the specifics of campaigns and things in a minute, but it really all starts with understanding who is in your market. And I think you took a very smart approach to that. Can you describe that a little bit?
Well, in all the marketing education I've come across, there were three typical things you've got to do, and it stems from what's called the marketing results triangle: the message, the market, and the media. And the first place to start is knowing who the market is, and that's exactly what we did. We started with doing the research and finding out the details and creating an avatar or creating a real specific picture of who our clients were. And when we went into this, I always thought we had one type of client, one type of customer that we were serving their needs. And it turns out I was dead wrong. We actually had four different types of clients. So once we came to that realization, creating a message for each of these different types of clients kind of became a lot easier, because previously we were trying to have one message and thought that we were trying to get this one message to one type of client, and it would never quite match everyone. Well, as soon as we came to the realization that we had four types of clients through all this marketing research, then the message became a whole lot more clear and easier to make it unique to their needs.
I think that's such a critical point of understanding that you got to realize that, hey, I need to break the message up, that I actually am dealing with four different types of people. I know as I'm working with businesses, when we first start working together and they begin to describe their ideal client, I mean, we can really usually pretty quickly map out, you know, two, three, four. I had one client that had 11 different markets that they were trying to address with one message.
Yeah.
And 11 is a lot to address individually as well, and we started to pare that down and focus it to the most profitable ones. But it's really hard to make your marketing effective if you're trying to water it down to the lowest common denominator, which is what you have to do if you're going to do one message to all of them. And that's why most marketing doesn't work very well, I think. So I think that was really an intelligent approach, a great realization that that's what was necessary. So I noticed in the book and looking at your website that you've got these ebooks that you're using kind of as bait to generate leads, but you don't have just one.
No, Steve. I mean, you said it earlier. We have to break it down into the specific types of clients that we have. So yeah, we have multiple books and they each appeal to a different type of client. If you don't do that, it's just like you said, Steve. You said it's watered down, and then it means nothing to anyone. So why even do it if it's so watered down and so generic? You've got to define those niches within your own client base of customers. So, but once that's done, then the message becomes a whole lot easier to create, because now you can see it in your mind exactly who you're talking to, and it really becomes a whole lot easier. So, yeah, the ebooks is the bait, and the bait is specifically for a different type of client for each one of them.
Walk us through those five books, just kind of who each one's designed for and the approach that you took.
Okay, so one type of our client is called we call him our end user. He's the guy who actually, and maybe I need to step back a little bit further. Our clients are manufacturers of all sorts of products, and they run these large manufacturing plants, and these plants are automated through a bunch of electronic equipment. Well, we repair that electronic equipment. The client that we wanted to talk to in this instance was the actual maintenance guy who's going to go in the plant and fix this equipment. So we wanted to have an ebook that actually spoke directly to him. And one of the books is a power supply repair. It's a real specific type of equipment that he's working on day in and day out. And we target that because it would be something that is a little bit generic within his market, within this type of client. He's working on all sorts of different types of power supplies. So I wrote an e-book specifically to what he's going to be working on at some point during his work week or work month, and this really appealed to him. So when he would come to the website or do some type of research, he would run across the e-book, or he would go to Amazon and doing some searches, so we'd run across it, and then we would capture his contact information and have a new lead. So that ebook worked out real well. Another type of client we have is called a distributor. It's our third-party middleman that speaks to our ideal client base. Well, so we wrote a book on selling our services through distributorships, and so that appealed to that different market. And so each of the books specifically appeals to a different niche within our entire customer base. And we actually put them all on one page, but they are routed to that page through all sorts of different types of messages that are out there in video or within e-zines or any other way that we spread the message. So specifically targeting those books to different audiences was a realization we would have never come to had we not done the market research to segment our list.
Now, the one that I found, I think, most unique is the one you did for distributors. And I think the title of it is the Distributor Sales System.
Yeah.
And so really that's a training piece.
Yeah.
Teaching them how to sell for you.
It's teaching them how to sell for us because these guys are dealing with hundreds of different types of vendors all day long. And so if they have to learn how to sell our products, it's just another roadblock to getting sales for us. So we figured how to make it even easier for them. So we told them exactly what to do to sell our services. And it really caught on because now it makes it easier for them to sell our services. Because not only do we have competitors who do the exact same type of work that we do, but we have competitors that our clients are being distracted by. So if they're being distracted by another vendor that they have to service or another boss that's trying to teach them how to sell stuff or another training system that's trying to teach them how to sell, then they become distracted when we think that they should be selling our services. So we put it all into one type of package and gave it to them and said, okay, this takes care of weeding keeps our competitors out of, you know, your audience. You don't have to worry about your boss teaching you how to sell because we're going to teach you exactly how to sell our products the best and easiest way. And then we're going to earn more profit for you because you'll sell more of our services. So, yeah, it helped us out quite a bit with trying to get a distributor to sell our services by teaching them how to do it.
Well, I think it's a great strategy, and for folks listening to this, you know, very easy to take that idea and repurpose it with referral partners, distributors, if your business is set up to work through distributors, but certainly through referral partners, and also could be used to educate your customers on how to refer you, and a lot of different ways you can use that idea. One of the other things you did was publish newsletters. I'm a big believer in newsletters, especially frequent newsletters. In fact, I wrote a new sales letter and talked about the idea of sending a quarterly newsletter. And I thought, in the sales letter, I say that it's, you know, you're better off just keeping the money in your pocket most of the time. And I actually had somebody call me and say, but I send a quarterly newsletter, and isn't that better than nothing? And I almost feel like, no, it's not better than nothing.
No.
nothing would be better because it costs you less. So you're sending out a monthly newsletter, but again, not just one. So talk to us a little bit about the newsletter and how it's different.
Well, I don't know that I guess the newsletter could be considered different because if in our industry, in industrial sales, it's really typical to have a newsletter being sent out, and it's all technical. It's all got to do with selling more of your product or answering real technical questions, but it's not real fun to read. So we have a little ratio we use that only 40% of the newsletter can be about true marketing or true sales content for our services. The other 60% has got to be entertaining and in some kind of way engage with the audience. So we focus all of our newsletters with that little ratio there. But we don't just send out one newsletter. We typically send out a newsletter for each one of those niche markets. And we have four, so we have four newsletters. Well, at that point we did. We actually now have six, so we've expanded even more, trying to niche down our clients as close to the message that we want to get to them as we possibly can. So the newsletters do that. So we have multiple newsletters, and yes, they're all sent in a hard copy every single month, and yes, there's a cost to that. So we know that every single month we're going to have to pay to have right now six newsletters sent out in a hard copy. In addition to that, though, we want to repurpose that as many ways as we can. So not only do we send it as a physical copy, we also email it to them once a month as well. So the way we do this, Steve, is we actually, the first of the month, we'll send a physical copy. They usually get it a week or so later. So that's one touch from our newsletter. The third week of the month, we send an email copy of that newsletter, too. So 1 week they're getting a physical copy, the next week they're getting an email. We also send the newsletter in all of the packaging of the equipment that we send out. So any other touch we have with the customer, such as the packages that we ship to them with their own equipment, we throw another copy of the newsletter in there. We also give it to any customers that drop by, and then we also have it in our sales offices, or our salesmen that go out and speak to the clients, they're also delivering newsletters. So anytime that we have a touch with a client, we want to give out that message, that newsletter, and so we repurpose that content as many ways as we can with those newsletters. So we're taking, at the time we had four newsletters, so four newsletters, and we're repurposing it five ways. So, you know, in essence, one customer could actually have a total of 20 contacts from us with these newsletters in a month's time if they fit into all those niches. So we really want to make sure we get the most value out of a newsletter as we can. And you mentioned quarterly. Yeah, I mean, that's not nearly enough touches. That's not nearly enough times to communicate with your client. And they're going to forget about you 3 months later. There's no way that's enough of a contact with them.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, if I'm listening to this, somebody's out there thinking right now, 20 touches. I'm giving them the same newsletter five different times. Wouldn't they get annoyed by that? So do you have, customers lining up complaining about all this?
No, what we actually have is and that's part of the reason that we have the 40-60 rule, that only 40% is, sales content. The other 60% relates to them. Because not everyone reads the newsletter start to finish. There's a couple, some of the techniques that go into that is called the double readership path, where you're giving them a little table of contents and you're doing highlighted sections. So they're not always consuming every single bit of it every single time. But the other thing that we did, too, is we made it fun. We wanted to try to get our newsletters to be interactive. So we include in the newsletter some type of interactivity, some type of either a contest or a giveaway or something of value to our client. One of them is a word find. You know, when you circle a bunch of letters and it makes a word and you scratch it off? Well, what we do is we actually have them do the word find and have them fax it in to us, and then we send them a $10 Best Buy gift card. For as many people as want to send it in, we'll send them a $10 gift card. So there's no contest. If you send it in and interact with us, we're going to send you a gift card. And it costs us $10 every single time that does that. But the $10 is so inexpensive when you look at it from a standpoint of a true connection with your client that's coming into you on a monthly basis. So we have clients that are sending in this little word find every single month, and what we find is that those are the clients that are spending the most money with us, that are have the best relationship with us, that are not only doing that, but they're giving us great testimonials, they're doing referrals with us. Those are our really truest clients, our true ideal client. So $10 is such a small amount of money to pay for all of that interactivity and that great client relationship.
Yeah, that's a brilliant strategy. And you kind of alluded to it in the first part of your answer there, but you said, yes, it's a print newsletter, and yes, it costs a little bit of money. And I would imagine you've heard the objection, oh, it's a print newsletter. It's not free like email.
That's right.
I hear that all the time. And I think what people need to understand is that you get what you pay for.
That's right.
With in terms of impact, you get what you pay for. And I do a lot of email marketing. I email out daily, and it works really well. But the print newsletter that I send to my clients and my prospects is worth many, many multiples of what the email is in terms of the results that it produces. So,
Steve, you said the physical copy has a much longer shelf life. It sits on their desk. It may go on the back of their desk. It may go on the side, but they're reluctant to throw away right away, whereas an email, it's easy just to click delete, and it's gone forever. So anything that can get a bigger shelf life. You also said, you know, what you're saying is that email is just one type of media. As many types of media as you can contact your customers by with the same message, it's going to get across better. So we do you do the email. You also say you send the physical copy. That's two different media. If you can fax it to them or if you can physically hand it to them, as many different ways you can get the message across, as many different media as you can use, the better it's going to, you know, the more contact you can have with your customer, the better it's going to get across.
Walter, what? Change topic for a minute, and I make this next comment with all the love in the world, but man, some of your marketing is just ugly.
I know.
I mean, you ain't winning any Addy Awards with that stuff.
No, you're
but,
right.
But you're making a lot of money with it, and that's one of the things that that you have discovered as a secret that I know is sort of a secret. Talk a little bit about putting this stuff together and your philosophy on how it looks.
Well, we've had it pretty. We've had it really, really expensive ad agency come in and make it super high gloss, beautiful pictures. The text is just this fantastic font. And the great part of that was that the only one that made money was the freaking ad agency. We didn't get any response from that because it didn't deliver a message. The whole point of the marketing we're doing now is it's delivering a message. And the message has a whole lot more, I don't know, stick-to-itiveness than the pictures and the beautiful copy. What gets remembered is the message that we're getting across. And you're right, it's not pretty, and we're doing it ourselves, and it's probably pretty evident that that's happening. But the message is getting across, and it's having an impact. And the other side of that is that we're not marketing to businesses. We're marketing to people, and people are going to relate to, you know, a funny little piece of copy or something that's handwritten a whole lot more than they relate to this beautiful, perfect ad agency type of marketing piece. So it comes across so much more genuine when we do it ourselves and when we have mistakes. You know, people really relate to that. So it's been so much more effective, and, you know, those checks are a whole lot bigger whenever it makes a relationship than whenever we're doing something really pretty.
Well, what I always tell folks is that you can go that glossy, fancy, very polished route, but that stuff screams sales. And people know that the only purpose of it is to get you money. And the stuff that's uglier that you do in-house, that people, you know is done in-house, it's more approachable. It's friendlier. And it's not nearly as threatening. And so people tend to read it. So, and it's one of those little things. It's really hard for a business owner, especially if they're selling business to business. And you're selling to huge corporations. You know, in the book you talk about Tyson Foods being one of your clients. This isn't like you're selling to backwoods, you know, mom and pop places. These are professional people.
Right.
But they're people. And
that's
I think
right.
that's a great point.
Yep.
We've got a little bit of time left, and I want to make sure we cover what you call your shock and awe package, because I think it's a really unique approach to getting a big contract signed. Tell us about that.
Well, you said it. We're trying to connect with people, and so we need to get the message across. Initially, what we did is we have a video that explains our process and that we paid a lot of money for. Again, was really beautiful, and we would send that out. And what we found over time is that the video was not getting viewed by our clients. So we did a little market research, and we found out that the CDs that we're sending to our clients, they're not able to actually use because in these large industrial plants, there's a lot of IT department infrastructure that is really, really hesitant to have anyone bring any software in. So these guys can't put a CD in their local computer because there's no CD player. They can't put a USB drive, flash drive in there because there's no USB drive. It's all really, really highly secured. So we had to have a way to get our video across, and we had a problem. We didn't know how to do that. So what I did was I was, you know, at home one day, and my wife's got a little video picture frame on the at the side of the couch, and it's showing all of our, you know, home pictures. I realized that thing had a little video player on it, and I had a little epiphany. Hey, why don't we just send something like this, which is fairly low cost, in a box to our clients with our video on it? That way, it gets to them and it gets through all the security because there's no risk here. All they're doing is hitting play on this little video picture frame, and bam, they're getting our message. Well, long story short, it went from just a little box to now this huge industrial case that we mount the video player in. And we're from Louisiana, Steve, so Mardi Gras is really popular around here, and part of the Mardi Gras celebration is what's called a king cake. It's essentially a 16-inch round donut with colored sugar sprinkled all over it, and it's just a real big indulgence that we do here in Louisiana. Well, it's really neat and unique, so what we do is we take this big king cake and plop it inside this industrial case. We throw all of our marketing materials on top of that along with a contract. We attach the video player, and we send this entire box to our clients. Well, no one is going to refuse a big UPS Next Day Air box to their office. It's going to get through all the gatekeepers. No one's going to stop it from getting there. And when it gets plumped on the general manager's desk, he's going to open it right away. And that's exactly what happens. So what we'll find is that one day we'll send these boxes out. The very next day we're getting calls from the decision makers saying, "What did you send me?" And in the background we can hear some laughter and some joviality, and they're enjoying the king cake, and I always hear our video playing in the background. So we know it's getting across because it's so different. It's so unique. No one's ever done this, and we're giving them a gift. The results were phenomenal because we included a contract in there, and each one of these contracts is worth about $34,000 to us. So the cost of sending this case, even with the king cake and shipping and overnight delivery, pales in comparison to the size of the contract. So, you know, I know people look at the case and say, wow, that is so much more than I'll ever have to do. Well, make it in relation to whatever size of transaction value you have for your client. So maybe it's not $34,000, but if the average transaction size is $500, maybe you can spend a little bit more to acquire that client. So we call this our shock and awe box, our salesman in a box, and it's been hugely effective for us, and it's just kind of came out of a little bit of creativity and a problem that we had a unique solution to.
Now, what stage do you use this in your sales process?
This is the last part of a 13-part campaign. So we make sure this is getting to the right person. It's got the right address. They've already communicated with us in some way. We've called them. We may have had a salesman come and visit, but it's the end of a campaign because it's so expensive, and we want to make sure that it gets to the right person.
Oh, that's great. That's completely outrageous. I love it. Well, Walter, I want to thank you for your time this morning. You have you've shared some great insights, and we're kicking off a new year. I really want the folks who hear this to take the next 90 days and get the mindset that you approached your 90-day period with, and take massive action, understand that good is good enough, and implement a lot of stuff simultaneously, because I know that those are the keys. You know that those are the keys. And it really, you know, people they overestimate what they can get done in a week or a month. They really underestimate what can be done in 90 days. And 90 days of solid effort, you can change a lot of things and massively change them. And as you describe in the book, in your 90 days, you you added $1 million to your business. Most of us would be pretty happy to sacrifice some weekends over a 90-day period to be able to do that. So thanks so much for being on. I'd love for you to share with everybody where they can go to learn more about you and learn more about the book and the other information that you've got.
My pleasure. What I've done is I've put all these examples and all the details and so much more in a package of four CDs that I'd like to give to anyone that's listening. The website is called themilliondollartransformation.com. And it's an ugly website, just so you know. It's not polished or anything. It's a very, very ugly website, but it's got a little web form on there. It shows a video of mine, and you're welcome to send in your information, and I'll ship you a box of CDs with all the details in there. And, again, it's themilliondollartransformation.com.
That's great. I really encourage everybody to go check it out. And Walter's giving this away. There's no reason for you not to go there and do it. And he's got a video there of a presentation that he did, I guess, to a Glaser Kennedy conference that has got even more detail on a lot of this stuff. Very, very worth watching. Walter, thanks so much for being on. I wish you all the best of luck in 2013. Hopefully you'll add another million over the first quarter.
Steve, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to the Small Business Marketing Show with Steve Gordon. Are you ready for more? Download Steve's ebook, 7 Deadly Marketing Sins That Will Kill Your Business, at stevegordonmarketing.com/free gift.